Well, it sure is good to see everyone here tonight. Praise the Lord. I tell you, if you come hungry for the word, praise God. Well, how many of you got the text message here today? Yeah, just a couple hours ago. And I'm excited about this message. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight. We're going to go on over there to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to call this message, Understanding, Assisting, and Praying for Spiritual Leadership. Praise the Lord. And so I appreciate you being here. So glad to see everyone here tonight. We're wound up for the Word of God. Praise the Lord. You know, this is a topic that I'm excited to preach. And not because, you know, by any means, you know, am I trying to draw, you know, attention to myself, you know, as a pastor of this church, you know, understanding spiritual leadership. Please know that I have spiritual leadership. You know, I'm in the same boat. You know, I have a pastor just like you have a pastor. Pastor Michael Laketic is my pastor, the founding pastor of the family churches, you know, the senior pastor of our Fredonia church, which they just got into their new building here these last few weeks. We're excited about that. I'll tell you what, there's just buildings galore going on all over the family churches. Amen. New building in Erie, new building, oh, praise the Lord, out in Fredonia and South Dayton, and one coming in Olean. So it's just exciting. Praise God. But I'm in the same boat. I have spiritual leadership, and I have to understand my spiritual leadership correctly. You know, if there's one great misconception, you know, in the body of Christ, obviously, you know, we're dealing with misconceptions all the time, but so many times people look at church, you know, they look at the family of God as a way of, you know, propping up themselves, you know, as being a crutch to hold them up, you know, like everything about the church is just there to assist them. You know, we're here to assist together what the family is going to do together. Amen. And we all have a part to play in assisting our spiritual leadership in the call that's on their life. Amen. And the plan that God has for them. You know, so many times we live in a day and a time where the body of Christ has gotten very, very selfish. Now, of course, I'm not preaching to you. You're here on a Wednesday night, you know, when so many, you know, other opportunities to be outside or whatever. You're loving God. You're serving God with all your heart tonight. Amen. But, you know, we're living in a day and a time where the body of Christ has gotten very selfish. You know, it's all about who can get me to my destination. And then we fail to help somebody else get to their destination. You know, so many times it's just, you know, get me to a good place. Get me to a good place. Get me to a good place. But who are we helping to get to a good place, you know, into the place that God has for them, you know, amen. So we're going to go over here. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read verse 6 here in just a moment. Praise the Lord. You know, so many people, they look at the local church as a place, you know, to be a stepping stone or a launch pad for their selfish plans in life. You know, they'll go to a church, they'll go hear the pastor, they'll meet with church leadership, they'll do whatever they can as long as that leadership is going to, you know, throw them forward to a place. Well, we're all assisting, amen, and where we're going together. Praise the Lord. And so it's not just about our individual plans, it's where we go together as a family. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:6. I'm going to start reading in the King James Bible. You know that specifically what's going on here is that Timothy was a young pastor. He was under the leadership of Paul the Apostle. And of course, 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul the Apostle ever wrote. Probably within 2 or 3 days after he wrote 2 Timothy, he was beheaded there in Rome. And so this was some of his last words. And he knew that Timothy, this young pastor, was very discouraged. He was tempted to quit. He was about ready, you know, to give up. And Paul starts reminding him of the call of God on his life. And he says something interesting. I'm going to read it in the King James, and then we're going to read it in the Amplified Bible. And it says something very interesting there. He says to Timothy in verse 6, remember, he's speaking to his spiritual son. Paul was Timothy's mentor. And he says this, he says, "Wherefore I," Paul talking to Timothy, he says, "I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." And Paul's talking about when Timothy was ordained, Paul laid hands on him. We know that ordination, may include the laying on of hands, but it wasn't just a ceremony. It just wasn't a formality. Something happened when Paul put his hands on Timothy. And can we bring this up in the Amplified? The Amplified brings out a little bit more. It helps us to understand it. The Amplified is a newer translation that relies heavily on the original Greek of the New Testament. It brings out the original language. It says, that is why I would remind you, Timothy, stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. Oh, so we're kind of getting a glimpse back at Timothy's ordination. When Timothy was called of God, he was being used of God. He was going to be, stepping into spiritual leadership. And now, of course, Timothy is facing what every spiritual leader will face, a nonstop spiritual pressure to quit and to give up. But Paul says, let me remind you of what was put in you through the laying on of my hands. He said, that inner fire that came to you, that gift of God that came to you through the faithfulness and the obedience of your spiritual leadership. Praise God. And the fear is the first thing that we need to know and understand about spiritual leadership. Listen, the fire of God in our life, it's borrowed fire. It came through somebody else. Somebody else's passion for God, someone else's faithfulness, someone else's obedience, someone else's fire is what lit our spirit on fire. Glory to God. And I would dare say that Paul had fire in his life. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by saying, talking about spiritual fire? We're talking about that passion, that revival in a person's life, the power of God, changed life. I mean, here's a man that used to murder people and now became the greatest Christian that has ever walked the face of the earth, bar none. A man of God that was used to author 14 out of 27 New Testament books. All right. I mean, a radical change. A man who was a revival everywhere he went. And he's like, remember, he says, I put my hands on you and the fire of God transferred into your life, put a gift in your life, amen. And so here's something we need to know and understand about spiritual leadership. They help to stir the fire of God in our life. The fire of God, our interest in God, our passion, our desire for God comes through somebody else. Listen, I know in my life I would have never, I took interest in the things of God when I stood before a man or a woman of God who was on fire for God. You know what I mean? Amen. And so you could say it this way, the fire of God in our life, it's really borrowed fire or illiterate. You know what I mean by that? I mean, of course, you're cultivating it. You're spending time with God. You have a relationship with God, you and Him. But you understand that it came, something, you got around somebody on fire for God, and you caught fire. Praise the Lord. Because, listen, I was disinterested in the things of God. Before I was born again and saved, before I met Pastor Michael, I was floating through this life. I was interested in other things that would hurt my life, things that were sinful, things that were evil. And then I stepped into one of his services, right? And the fire of God on him got on me. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And it started to change my interests. And it started to point me in a direction where to serve the Lord. And now everything that's ever, come out of my life, serving God, goes back to that day when the candle of my spirit was lit by a man of God who was on fire. And so we just need to know and understand that spiritual leadership is essential to the stirring of the fire of God, that it comes through somebody else. Do not misunderstand this. We're not talking about worshiping our pastors. Okay, we're not talking about worshiping spiritual leadership. Don't do that. That's wrong. All right? Nor do we think that our spiritual leadership is infallible. Nor do we think that a pastor's personality has to be everybody's personality. Please don't act like me. do yourself and the rest of us a big favor. don't try to, we don't mimic personality, but we want to mimic their passion. We want to mimic their fire. We want to mimic their obedience. We want to mimic their desire for the things of God. If I would have never come in contact with somebody who was on fire for God, I myself would have never been stirred. I would have kept my interest would have been my own. You know what I mean? And so I love when he says, rekindle the embers, fan the flame, keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands. So here we have a picture of spiritual leadership, and the fire on Paul's life is transferring to Timothy's life. All right. And so we have to know and understand that that's one of the first main purposes of spiritual leadership, is to rekindle or to, you know, maybe start a fire that's not even there. Timothy, he had the fire at one time, and something was tempting to put it out. And Paul said, listen, I want to remind you of what's in you. Yes. Glory to God. And so this is what we must know and understand. Our fire, the interest for the things of God in our life, it didn't come from us. It came through and from the faithfulness, the obedience, and the willingness of spiritual leadership. And notice Timothy, his fire may have gone out without having proper spiritual leadership. And that's the risk of not understanding our spiritual leadership, is that your fire can be out. Listen, I'll tell you what, I'm here to restir that, you know, to kindle those embers. Amen. To fan those flames. Because listen, we've all been there where sometimes, you know, things just start feeling stagnant with our life with God. That doesn't mean it's God's fault. Sometimes we get lazy. Sometimes we pull back. Sometimes we draw back. Thank God that there's a spiritual leader who's there week in, week out, week in, week out, preaching the word. You know, people have come and gone. You know, there's, of course, I mean, over the course of 11 plus years now of pastoring this church, of course, we've seen people, you know, come and people go, and of course, many stay. But you see, you know, sometimes where, you know, they come in and, you know, you can stir them up and then they just kind of drift off. But you know what? While people are out drifting around, spiritual leadership is still standing in place, still right there, still, you know, amen. And I don't mean just me, but there's many here that would fit that description. Also, any spiritual leader in the body of Christ. While people are out there just hopping around, taking a break from God, out floating on the breeze, not stable, not rooted, not planted anywhere, there's spiritual leaders all over the body of Christ who are showing up week in, week out, standing their post, preaching the fire of God. You know, and if the fire goes out in those people, it won't be the minister's fault. It won't be God's fault. Amen. You know, I've told people that, you know, have just come and gone, and some come back and they just are floating around. I say, you know, all these years you've been out floating around, guess what I've been doing? I've been just doing the same thing God told me. The same thing God told me. Well, I was faithful for 2 years, and then I float around for 5, and then I come back for another 2, and float around for another 3, you know, and all that. And I just say, well, guess what? You know, where I was the whole time, I was right here, preaching the same Bible. Amen. Glory to God. You don't need to be defeated in life. Amen. You can man your post. You know, so many times everyone expects the pastors to man their posts, but are you manning yours? Are you being faithful? You know, I'm not here attending because I have to. It's my job. It's like my paycheck depends on it. Yes, I do make a living here from being the pastor of this church, but I'm not here because of that. I'm here to be faithful. I'm here for the body of Christ. Oh, my goodness. Glory to God. I don't care if my pay goes up or not. Now, when I say that, God prospers me, prospers this church. Don't misunderstand me, but I'm just not here for that reason. You know what I mean? Of course, this has never happened, but if the church came to me today and said, hey, we're cutting a third of your salary, you know, what are you going to do? I'm going to preach Wednesday night. That has never happened, by the way. This church just treats me fantastically. It's just awesome. I'm just saying, though, that I would, you know, I'm not here for that reason. I'm here to be faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for spiritual leadership that stirs you up, keeps that flame burning? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Now go with me. Let's go look at a couple of scriptures. Go to 1 Thessalonians. You're just a few pages ahead of that there. Go back just a couple pages in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's just start looking at the importance of spiritual leadership. Amen. And again, this is a message I'm preaching for me. This message is not about me. Do you understand that? Okay. I'll be honest. I was talking with Pastor Jeff Mitchell today, and I was telling him about what I may be ministering on tonight, and that this has actually been on my heart for the last several weeks, and every time I've gone to preach it, for some reason, the message has changed. But here, you know, I'm getting to preach it here tonight. But there's always a reservation, you know, when I minister something like this, because I don't want people to misunderstand, to think that I'm preaching about myself. I'm not. This is a principle that I'm preaching for me and for you, because we're all in need of it. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, I'm in the King James here. Let's look again at the importance of spiritual leadership. And I just want to, you know, I want to, again, emphasize that point. We are not our own fruit. You know what I mean? We are not on our own vine. You know, and that's why loyalty is such a key principle to the favor of God. You know, faithfulness is so loyal. You know, faithfulness and loyalty is so essential to the plan of God in our life. You know, because I'll tell you what, when the fruit grows on the vine, the fruit is faithful to the farmer. You know what I mean? I did not cultivate myself. I did not make myself grow. There was a pastor who was sowing into me week in, week out, week in, week out. Listen, I am a piece of fruit on his vine. Therefore, I am not telling, you know, I'm not trying to run his life. I'm not, you know, being selfish with the gift of God in my life. I have to know and understand where it came from. Praise the Lord. And so I want to emphasize that. That fire that's burning for God on the inside of your heart, that came from somebody. And maybe it came from many somebodies. You know what I mean? And we need to be loyal to those somebodies. Amen. And we need to serve in the house of God and understand it's not about our personal ambitions and where God can take us just by ourselves. Amen. Pastors and spiritual leadership are not just launching pads for personal ambition. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's start in chapter 12. Paul is writing this as well. He says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." He said, verse 13, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Oh, praise the Lord. How many of you want peace in your life? Isn't that what the world's chasing all the time? We want the peace of God. You know that word peace there, it doesn't just mean like quiet or still. That word peace there, it means whole, soundness, health. You know, it means literally the soundness, the wholeness of God. All right, or you could say it this way, nothing broken, nothing missing. Yeah, that's good. Amen. Doesn't that sound like life that God wants for us? Nothing broken, nothing missing. Well, then notice how we get there and encourage that in our life. He says, know those that labor among you. Esteem them highly for their work's sake. Can we go back up to verse 12 and bring it up in the Amplified? Look at this in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. He says, "Now also we beseech you, brethren," that word's to urgently remind you, "get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. Your leaders who are over you in the Lord, and those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you." The word reprove means to correct you. One of the greatest gifts that spiritual leadership, well, I would not say one of, let me say the greatest gift that spiritual leadership can give you is correction. They aren't there to, you know, just to be your coffee buddy. You know, they're not there to just be the hangout. They're not there for just a friendship. They are there. They have an anointing and equipment of God to kindly warn you, to correct you. Thank God. You know, I'll tell you what, any pastor, any spiritual leader in the body of Christ that will not preach boldly, that will not warn people what hurts them, they are not a blessing, they are a liability. I would have nothing to do with any spiritual organization where the leadership was not bold and there wasn't correction and conviction coming out of that pulpit. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you know this, that upon your spiritual leadership is a gift from God to correct you. And it's probably part of that gift that a lot of people, they reject that part of the gift. You know, there's an equipping upon a pastor to teach, to kindly, to correct, to reprove. And a lot of people, they want to throw that off. In the days of the seeker-sensitive movement upon this earth, they don't want anything to do with that. You know, they just want to be told, oh, honey, it's all going to be okay. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're fine. You just hang the moon spiritually. You've arrived. You've already made it. You're not doing anything wrong ever. Listen, I don't need anyone telling me what I'm doing right. I need them to tell me what I'm doing wrong. Praise the Lord. I am so grateful for the times when my pastor corrected me, whether from his pulpit, whether he pulled me aside personally. Correction. It's not just something I do because I enjoy putting you through that. It is a spiritual gift of God, divinely inspired of the Lord, to be upon a pastor to correct and to reprove. And it's going to save your life. It's going to save your life. So know this, a pastor isn't someone that's trying to go after, not trying to run your life personally, trying to get into your personal business or anything. I don't do that. I don't believe there's anybody in here that could ever accuse me of, harassing or, calling you all the time, trying to run your life personally. I don't do that. There's no one that could accuse me of that. And if you do, you're a liar, because I'm not. If there's one thing I don't do is try to run people's, personal life. I don't do that at all. You'll say, well, pastor doesn't, he doesn't chase me down. No, I'm not going to chase you down, But what I will give you from this pulpit, and if you're leadership in the church, helper in the church, or if I see something that's going to put someone's life in danger, I'm going to talk to you. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. We need to understand that part of our spiritual leadership. We need to appreciate it. Jesus said over there in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke. A godly rebuke is a blessing. I'm glad there's someone that is gifted to do that. You know how you can tell when a pastor is gifted to do that? Because they can sharply rebuke the congregation and the congregation will love them for it. I'm amazed at the stuff that I can get away with saying. How does he not just drive everyone out of here? Well, if you love God, you'll love correction. Listen, one of the greatest decisions you can ever make in your life is to be teachable. Yes. Is to be teachable. Yes. Is to be teachable. Flexible. Don't ever think that you've arrived. Don't think that, you've got a perfect handle on everything, doctrine in life. Don't just think that you've got it all figured out, because you don't, and neither do I. All right? I need my pastor to correct me. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he will. And there's times I'll talk to him like, Pastor Michael, if you see something in my life, please just speak up. And he always stops me. He says, stop right there. He's like, trust me, if there was something in your life that needed to be corrected, you wouldn't need to ask me first to correct you. He said, if I don't say anything, just count it good. But if I see something, I'll deal with it. Yes, sir. And that's what I like to hear. But I love correction. Just tell me, show me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, glory to God. In verse 12, those spiritual leaders who are over you in the Lord, those who warn and kindly correct you and exhort you. The word exhort means you could say it this way, to pump you up for the things of God. Amen. To put a passion for the things of God, And that's why, I might even, on a Wednesday night service with, nice weather, there's people that could have been here that should have been here. I mean, this is a great group of people. I mean, it's not like it's a low amount of people by any means. I'm just saying there's people that could have been here that should have been here. All right? And what they, what they tell God, by not, when they just, I'm just staying home. I'm just not going to go. What they tell God. Listen, right now, man, the Spirit of God spoke to me during praise and worship right now, tonight. He said, I'm watering my people right now. And also the Spirit of God impressed upon me that there was people that were supposed to be here to get watered, and they weren't. And I tell you what, I don't like hearing that as a pastor. And so I might exhort people, hey, get into church. When those doors open, what happens when we come together in the name of Jesus? There are things happening in the realm of the Spirit over our lives that you cannot get anywhere else. You can't get it at home. You can't get it in front of the TV. You can't get it at the movie theater. We are gathered more than two or three in the name of Jesus. I tell you what, there's things in your life that are trying to hurt you, trying to harm you, trying to get on you. And that rain, you know, when he rains upon you in life, it's going to keep that junk off. It's going to spare you. Or if something has got a hold of you, it can break that thing off. You know, I'll tell you what, you don't ever want to underestimate or undervalue the importance of walking through the doors of the church and being gathered together in Jesus' name. Glory to God. So I will never apologize for exhorting people. Hey, you need to be there. Every week we have our announcements, whether it's Pastor Brad, whether it's Savante or Justin or whoever is up here giving the announcements, we always announce our Wednesday night. Oh, yeah. It's not because we're trying to promote the service because we got to have people there. No. We're not doing that to brag about our Wednesday attendance. We're doing that so people can have the Spirit of God raining on them so things can be added to their life or broken off their life if need be. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so it's a good thing to be here. Listen, I understand, you know, we live in a part of the country where we get maybe a few months of good weather and people want to savor it. But I'll tell you what, the weather's always good in here. You know what I mean? Listen, there's no sunshine out there. There's no warm temperatures that can give me what I'm getting here tonight. Listen, I am so glad you're here because God's watering us all together and each of us get to take it home. Thank God for being in the local church. Praise the Lord. And of course, verse 13 in the Amplified, he's talking about spiritual leadership. He says, hold them in very high and most affectionate esteem, in intelligent and sympathetic appreciation of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Well, that's a good word right there. You know what I mean? We live in a day and a time of dishonor. Of dishonor. Oh, my goodness. We live in a day and a time where, nowadays, you know, so many places, they don't call the pastor pastor. I'm not after the title. You know that. Okay? I don't call my pastor, I don't call him Pastor Michael just because he's in love with the title or something. I'm doing that out of honor. Out of honor. You know, we live in a day and the time where in most churches, you know, if the pastor's name is Jack, he's just Jack. Listen, if you want Tim, call me Tim. Because that's what you'll get. You'll just get Tim. But if you want the gift of God on my life, call me by the name Pastor. Because the gift of pastor is what's on my life. I'm not after the title. I'm not after the recognition. I'm just saying it's out of honor of the office. It's not about the man. It's about the office. Praise the Lord. Listen, when I hear people call my pastor, they say, hey, Michael, how are you? I'm like, who's that? Who's that? Who's Michael? Pastor Michael says to me all the time, you don't want Michael. You don't want Michael. And again, it's, you say, well, Pastor, that's kind of a formality. That's old school. I know, back in the day when honor was actually in the body of Christ. Say, so call that old school? Well, I'm all for it. Because pastor is not just, hey, Jack, hey, Bob, hey, Bill, hey, John, you know. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, amen. Well, I told you I was going to reprove and correct and say things, you know. And of course, when I hear people, you know, say that or something, you know, a lot of times it's done out of innocence. It's just done out of, you know, whatever. And I don't speak up and say, oh, but that's Pastor Tim. That's Pastor Tim to you. I don't do that or say that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about arrogance and pride. All right. I'm talking about honor. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just live in a day and a time where the devil is trying to diminish and demean the offices that God has put in the body of Christ. Get them to dress down. All in the name of trying to relate to society. There was a day and a time. I mean, in the New Testament times, the men of God and the women of God were so powerful. I mean, the anointing of God on their life. I mean, there was such a high esteem and a respect. And, you know, and of course, at that cultured and nourished those ministry offices, you know. But we live in a day and a time where you wouldn't know any difference. You know, they just treat, you know, the pastor like he's the custodian. Not that custodians are, you know, dishonored. You know what I'm saying. They just, oh, you know, just treat them just whatever. It doesn't matter. No, our spiritual leadership is the gift of God in our midst. Say, wow, pastor, you're really just trying to do yourself a favor here tonight. No, I'm not preaching about myself. I'm preaching to myself. All right? I would never just, you know, see my pastor and say, hey, Mike, how you doing today? Listen, one of my best friends, the person I grew up with from the time I was 10 years old, is Pastor Mike Anderson. And I see him quite often. I mean, he and I we basically lived together from the time we were 10 years old. We were raised together in the same neighborhood, went to the same schools, went to the same colleges. We both pastor now. I mean, all this stuff. And it would be very easy to get very familiar, you know, and just call him, hey, Mike. Hey, Mikey. You know, I don't do that. He and I, we had a conversation when we became pastors. We're saying, you know, that office became more important than our friendship. That's good. I call him, he's Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike. Amen. Because I don't want Mike. Because I remembered what Mike was like. Just like he can remember what Tim was like. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Go with me to Hebrews 13. See, I'm still getting you to understand your spiritual leadership. It's important to know and appreciate and to honor spiritual leadership. Amen. We do not want a dishonorable church, because if we have a dishonorable church, God's not going to move there. He's not going to move there. Oh, praise the Lord. Go to Hebrews 13, and let's look at verse 17. Here's a verse that really will make some people mad, because they think that the pastor's there to be bossed around. Oh, my goodness. Of course, I don't deal with this here. I'll be honest. I really don't. This church is so fantastic, and so I really don't deal with this that much, hardly ever, and very rarely have. But I've seen it in other churches and stuff. But the pastor is not a suggestion box. You know, oh, pastor should do this. Oh, I don't like. He's not a complaint box. You know, a pastor is not a waitress. You know, you know, people want to voice, you know, oh, we should do this. I don't like that. Music was too loud. This was this. Pastor, you should do this. Pastor, you should do that. You should do this. Wrong. People, and of course, I have had that happen to me, you know, a few times over the years. When people go that direction with me, talk to the hand. You, that is a sure sign of what's not going to happen. You know, when I say talk to the hand, I'm kidding. That's a joke. Some of you might be visiting and think, wow, what an arrogant guy. I'm just joking around. But when people, oh, Pastor, you should do this. Pastor, you should do that. You should do this. Pastor, this, that, and that. You know, they try to command and boss around and instruct the pastor, you know, what to do. No, believe me, that pastor is far more equipped, far more anointed to handle the local church than your suggestions ever thought of being. I have zero suggestions for my pastor. You know who makes suggestions to me? You know where I get that is, you know, it comes down from my pastor, from my leadership. Say, oh my gosh, he's telling, you know, we don't have a voice here. And no, I'm talking about people that they think, you know, the pastor is there to, you know, wait on them to, you know, make everything suitable for their preferences. They want the music they want. They want the children's, you know, ministries the way they want it. They have all this. No, the pastor is equipped and anointed to lead the local church. And I don't take suggestions from the outside. We handle that within the leadership structure. Amen. Praise the Lord. Churches that are run by boards. Now, I have an accountability board. You know, we have a board. Oh, boy, yeah, Pastor Brad's waving it on. Come on. We live in a day and a time. Who are the ones that God has anointed and equipped to run the local church? The pastor. And yet we live in a day and a time where the pastor is just a hireling, and he's out running the errands for 5, 6, 7, 10 people on the church board. He's the one, or she's the one, that is equipped to operate in that church to know what's best for the sheep, but they have it backwards. Look at God's leadership structure all the way from the days of Abraham, the days of Moses, to the days of Jesus. He would choose leadership. He would anoint and equip leadership. Leadership would then build a leadership structure around them, and they would handle the issues. Remember, Moses made that mistake. Remember, Moses sat on a seat all day and said he was just going to hear the complaints of the people? And Moses, his father-in-law, came to him and said, "What you're doing is not good." He said, "You are going to weary the people, and you're going to weary yourself. Because you've just made yourself a suggestion box. You've made yourself a complaint center."
That's exactly right.
You know, it's not the complaint hotline. Someone tells me on the outside, how, you know, the pastor's like, "Oh my goodness, he thinks so highly of himself." No, I think highly of God's leadership structure. There are people that are appointed and anointed. I have an accountability board. They come and they can hold me accountable. I have church leadership. You know, I have an associate pastor. I have a dynamic wife. I have board members. I have, directors of ministries, you know, that are around my life, that they, leadership can approach me. And if they have something, I will always hear it from them. You know what I mean? But if you're not equipped or anointed to address something with the pastor, then don't submit your suggestion. Ooh, aren't you glad? This is so much better than mowing the yard. This is so much better than planting those flowers, watering that grass. You know, wow, because that's stuff that so many places are just not, they don't have the courage to say it. Well, I'm going to tell that pastor he should do this, he should do that, he should do this. And I have people, and I just stand there and I smile real sweet. Okay. Not okay like I'm going to do it. Like, okay, I heard you. And that's a sure sign that I won't do any of those things. Because, oh, I'm having some fun here tonight. You understand. But, I'm making it very clear how God uses leadership. Yes. Oh, we should do this. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Why don't we do this? And usually because the answer is those things aren't in the Bible. Because those things are not given to us in the New Testament or the instructions to the church. Yeah, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. We got to get moving along here. Where did I tell you to go? Hebrews 13:17. I told you this verse was going to make you mad. But I think I already have done that before we get to the verse. Verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. There's the answer to every crisis in our lives. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves. That is the word that Christians have not learned. They do not understand submission. Submission. They're trying to get the pastor or church leadership to submit to their preferences. Oh boy, that's a problem. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, I'll use myself as an example. I'm submitted to my pastor. I'm submitted to him. All right? I understand his spiritual authority in my life. No, Pastor Michael is not directing my every personal decision. He's not a micromanager of my life. But in all things spiritual, all right, he is the covering in my life. Amen. God has equipped him to speak into my life, to see things that need to be changed. Amen. He's somebody that has a spiritual authority in my life. I honor him. I respect him. You know, and you know what it means to respect and submit? Listen, I understand that Pastor Michael has a call on his life. Any project of his is a project of mine. When you're submitted to church leadership, you are dedicated to helping them fulfill their assignment. There is an assignment on his life. Right? Amen. Praise God. You know, any of the local, Pastor Chris Herman is here with us tonight. It's so awesome to have him here and his boys here. There's an assignment on his life. Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee, an assignment on their life. You know, we could just go through all any pastor. They don't have to be a part of the family church organization. But part of being submitted is helping the spiritual leadership fulfill their call. Amen. So many times we want the assistance, but are we assisting them? Are we assisting them? Praise the Lord. And I tell you what, I'm preaching to the choir. As I look out at this group, there are so many here tonight that are so helpful. Like I said in the text message, no pastor can do anything alone. And it's not the pastor is never the lone ranger out there trying to, you know, get the credit or anything. Listen, no pastor has ever been effective without faithful ministry of helps, you know, serving, helping. Amen. And every pastor should know that, understand, and appreciate that. Listen, apart from your faithfulness, I would never get to do what I've been called to do. Amen. So it goes both ways. It goes both ways. But submission, much. I'm going to throw out a number here. And, you know, this isn't, I'm not putting God's, you know, rubber stamp on it. I would dare say 90% of all born-again Christians are not submitted to any spiritual leadership. Submission is not, oh, come up front and kiss Pastor Tim's ring. That's not what we're talking about. That is not. Do you understand that? It's not, oh, you know, Pastor Tim, you know, oh, let's bow down before the pastors and, you know, put palm branches in their path as they come in through the church doors or something. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being faithful to the assignment, faithful to the health of the local church. Showing up, you know, serving in the body of Christ, being on time, manning your post, praying for your pastor. We're going to get to that. I need you praying for me. Amen. Folks, I'm just going to tell you right now, a look behind the scenes of pastoring a church, and in this case, pastoring two churches, and, you know, and what we have going on here. Let me just tell you, someone that's called to lead a ministry and they're called of God, once they step in that role of leadership, there is non-stop spiritual pressure to get them to quit. Non-stop. It never leaves. It never goes away. And I am in no way complaining or saying, I don't want to do this anymore. No, don't mistake that. But I was talking about this with Pastor Jeff today. That spiritual pressure, you know, on someone that steps in that role, many times the congregation is not aware of it. They're completely unaware. They see their pastor. The pastor shows up. You know, he's pumped up. He's praising. He's worshiping. He's preaching with fire. You know, people are being stirred and things like that. In the meantime, they have no idea the pressure that is on that man or woman to stand in that place of leadership. And I'm not saying, oh, woe is me, my job is so hard. Listen, it is the most greatest honor. I love what God has called me to do. It is the best thing on earth, okay? And yes, I work more than one day a week. People say, oh, pastors, they work one day a week. Yeah, well, maybe we should have a work exchange program. Anyhow, praise the Lord. But the congregations of the body of Christ are so unaware of what their pastor is going through. And let me say this. I don't mean like a specific trial. Like there's no specific trial in my life. You know, I will say this. I'm just saying the spiritual pressure that the enemy... Listen, when I say this, can I say this without you mistaking me or thinking that I'm trying to be condescending? Okay? Many people in here, many people in our church, it's this way with any church that's doing anything good for God. Okay? This is not just a family church thing. All right, take any church that's on fire, that's growing, that's building other local churches. And let's say someone in the congregation, you know, they get tempted in life and they give up on God and they walk out and they just go and, you know, they fall and they stumble into sin. You know, not very much gets noticed. Now, I'm not saying that it's okay to do that. Don't misunderstand me. That would be an absolute tragedy. That would be awful. I'm here to prevent that. But I'm just saying the body of Christ would just keep moving along. Many people, unbelievers, wouldn't hardly notice. You know, but if I fell, into the sin that many Christians are living every day of their life, hundreds of people would be hurt. Entire organizations. Like, what if Pastor Michael Laketic fell into and started living a life that so many Christians just casually, you know, there's Christians, they could walk up to or they could walk into a restaurant, they could walk into Applebee's, go up to the bar, order a beer, start drinking a beer in public, and, you know, nothing would happen. If I did that, I don't want to do that, by the way. I'm just making, you know, an illustration. Pastor Tim's daydreaming about drinking beer again. No, I'm not. That's not what I'm talking. But I'm just saying how so many Christians casually live their life. If a pastor or minister just did one of those things, they would lose their livelihood. The organizations would split up. You know what I mean? So think about how the enemy puts a target on the back of spiritual leadership. Absolutely. I mean, one, Christians, if they go and they go off, they fall. If a Christian falls into adultery, you know, people have mercy on them, they forgive them, and life goes on. If I fell into adultery, place comes to a screeching halt. And of course, there would be other spiritual leadership that would stand up, take the place, but the place would never be the same again. Meaning there would, you know, the devil would try to put a reproach. I'm not saying that, don't take that the wrong way. You understand what I'm saying? The devil would try to use that to bring reproach. So how much the devil wants pastors. I think of other pastors in this town that have been here for years, that the community really looks to. I think about them. You know what I mean? I've even prayed for them before. Sometimes I've even become aware of personal things that they're dealing with, and I pray for them because I know the devil is trying to give the body of Christ a black eye by getting that man to fall. Because the community hears his name, they instantly have respect and honor for him, but if he fell into that, and here, you know, you could take a man that he himself has, you know, counseled hundreds of people that have fell into sin and raised them up, you know, and everyone has mercy on them, but if he did one thing that any of those couples did, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, it would be in the newspaper. It would be all over social media. So people don't understand the spiritual pressure of pastors that, you know, are part of an organization that are making headway for God. There's a non-stop spiritual pressure. Okay? No, I'm not going to fall. But I need you praying for me. We are in this together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, so I'm just trying to get you to understand a little something about spiritual leadership. Are you getting anything out of this? Yeah. See, why? Because spiritual leadership, if they fall, you get hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
You get hurt because the anointing on a pastor's life, who's it for? Thank you. You're so excited about that. Who's the anointing on your pastor for? It's for you. It's working on your behalf.
Amen.
Listen, you don't want your pastor to fall. You don't want your pastor to succumb to, you know, spiritual pressure. Right. And no, I'm not. There's nothing, you know, particular right now that's going on. I mean, just from a standpoint, they're good.
Yeah.
I mean, wonderful. God's, you know, praise the Lord. We have a lot to rejoice about.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like, you know, some kind of crisis or something trying to work on me or this church or anything like that. But I'm just saying the spiritual pressure, it never leaves. It never leaves. There's times I go to bed with it, I wake up with it. I mean, nonstop, the devil is on my shoulder trying to get me to quit. He is, in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, when Satan showed Jesus the nations, you know, of the earth and showed him the wealth thereof, the glory of all the nations, he tried to tempt Jesus by making him wealthy. You know, try to say, if you just go a different path, you can have all this fun in the sun. The devil has done that with me. The devil has done that with me so many times. He's knocked on my, knocked on my thought life and said, hey, you could go into this business. You could go and make a lot of money over here. You could go and get in part of this, or you could do this. You could run that. You could start a, you know, whatever. I mean, the devil has done that. And, of course, I haven't even given it a second thought. I just take authority over those thoughts. But I'm saying spiritual leadership goes through that all the time. All the time. All the times. I've heard so many stories of the most anointed, wonderful pastors who they themselves have done nothing wrong, but they're just sitting there in the pressure. They're just sitting there. They'll hold their head and they'll look over. They say, I want to quit. I just want to quit. I want to give up. And I understand because of the pressure. I'll tell you what, if I had not been taught about authority and how to use the name of Jesus, I wouldn't have even made it this far. If I wouldn't have been taught how to cast down thoughts, Listen, because you get tempted with thoughts as well. If you don't know how to use the name of Jesus, if you don't know how to, to cast down those thoughts and imaginations, it'll devour your life too, the spiritual pressure that comes against you. You know, and remember this, if you are going to be somebody that is fully submitted, you know, to the vision of your church family, to the leadership of your pastor, you know, you're fully submitted, just remember this, you will share not only the promotion, you will share not only the blessing, but you will also share the pressure. So many people, they don't understand this. They will get promoted. They will move up higher in spiritual leadership, and they start wondering, why all of a sudden I'm getting attacked? Why all of a sudden do I feel this pressure? Why all of a sudden? Because you've stepped up and you're seated at the same table now, and now you're starting to share just a piece of the pressure that your pastor faces on a daily basis. All right? You know, please do not misunderstand this as me like saying, oh, my job is so tough. I'm just saying every church should learn how to pray for their pastor because there is a nonstop assault against them to quit. You understand that? I'm just kind of showing you what's going on and, you know, behind the scenes here. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, I didn't finish this verse. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. That word watch, that means like they are a watchman. What is a watchman? A watchman is standing between you and danger. Spiritual leadership is standing between you and danger. At any given time, there's something that would love to devour your life, but the anointing on your spiritual leadership is keeping them at bay. Thank God. I don't even begin to know how many things I've been spared from because I've just stayed faithful and loyal and submitted to my pastor. Glory to God, the covering and the protection. They give watch. You know, let me bring up this verse. Let's see, where is that? Can you bring up Numbers chapter 16? It wasn't what I was planning on preaching. Numbers chapter 16. Right around the 48th verse. Let's take a stab at that. See if that's... Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Now, I'm going to have to fill in the story. When it says he, it's talking about Aaron back in the Old Testament. You remember who Aaron was? Aaron was the first high priest. He was Moses' brother. He's one of the top three leaders in Israel. There was Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, the sister, right? Those three were the top three in leadership in all of Israel. They were literally serving 2 to 3 million people. Yeah. All right? And in chapter 16, we have a rebellion against leadership. Three men by the name of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I know you remember Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. You know, maybe you have a great uncle, Abiram, you know. It's a good name, except you don't probably want to name it after this guy. But these three, they rose up against Moses and Aaron, remember? And that they led a rebellion of 250 leaders within Israel against Moses and Aaron, tried to overthrow them. Because they said, literally, you can read chapter 16. You can read where these three said to Moses and Aaron, what makes you chosen of God? What makes you so holy? What makes you so different? Well, I've had people say that stuff to me, and I say this not on my own accord. I'm nothing without Jesus. When people say, well, what makes you so different? What makes you so special? I say, well, nothing makes me different or special, all right? But in this church, I am the anointed pastor to lead this congregation. You know, if someone tries to come into this place and try to usurp authority and try to make merchandise out of you, I will stop them. You will not be taken advantage of here in this place. There's people, they've come in, they've walked through those doors trying to work their stuff, you know, trying to take authority over me, and it's the goofy junk. Trying to prophesy stuff, stand up, interrupt services and all that. People try that here. They get sat down, they get escorted to the door. People show up, you know, trying to merchandise you with their business cards and trying to, you know, woo you into some kind of wheeling and dealing and stuff like that. I get send that stuff packing. You know, listen, I don't think highly of myself, but in this local church, I do understand the leadership structure. I understand my role as the pastor to keep you safe from people trying to make merchandise. There's people all the time that call me and want to preach in this pulpit. all the time. And if they aren't living it, they do not preach here. All right? There's people all the time. Hey, you know, we'd like to come in. We'd like to do services here. Hey, you know, oh, dear Lord, I don't know how specific I want to get. But been contacted with people that, you know, had big ministries. But in their life, they were living a fallen Christian life. Folks, you know, unfortunately, it is true that some of the folks, some leadership in the body of Christ, not in our camps, okay, but just in the body in Christ in general, some of them are not living a true Christian life. You know, so just because you see them on TV and they have a ministry does not make them trustworthy. You know, I've been contacted by ministries that have a big name, but they do not have big character. I will not put somebody questionable in front of you in this pulpit. That is my role as a pastor. All the time, people, they want to leave materials. They want to put new materials on our book table. And I'll say, no, I haven't read it yet. Well, pastor, what does that matter? It's a good book. No, you know. And we have such an awesome, you know, Reverend Vanessa helps with that. And we keep that completely clean there. Because I don't want you feeding on stuff that's not good for you. Just because some guy comes, he wrote some book about whatever. I won't put that in front of you. Praise the Lord. So this is Aaron. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram had rebelled against Moses and Aaron. And, of course, those folks that rebelled against them, the judgment of God fell. The Bible says the earth gobbled them up. They literally were killed that day. And then the other people of Israel started to complain against the Lord because Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were judged so harshly. And they started to claim, why did God do that? What was wrong with them? Why did they deserve that? And now the Bible says that a plague started to move in to the camp of Israel. And Aaron and Moses stood up and started to pray that God would have mercy. And it says this about Aaron. And Aaron stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. The anointing on Aaron's leadership literally stood between life and death. Those people were going to be judged. They were going to die of that plague. But Aaron stood up in between that and kept that plague off of them, even though those people were in the wrong. Thank God for the mercy of our spiritual leadership. Someone there that's going to love you, who's going to pray for you, even when you miss it. It's an amazing thing. And of course, you know, we pray for this entire congregation. However, it's amazing how God will give us specific prayer assignments, typically for those that are missing it. For those that are in danger. For those that are starting to get casual with the things of God. And God starts to show us trouble ahead. Trouble ahead for that couple. Oh my goodness. You know, sometimes it's, sometimes the things that I see just naturally and personally are, it's tough to see it. Tough to see, you know, because the Lord will show you, if they don't get on a different path, this calamity is going to happen. If something does not change, that has happened several times. The Lord has used me, the Lord has used my wife, and we pray. But I just notice that, you know, how God will use the mercy and the anointing and the gift on your spiritual leadership to stand in between that place of danger, between you and the danger, between you and the calamity. Thank God for my pastor. Thank God for that man who stayed faithful, and I've reaped the benefit, and I've been spared of things, even when I was making mistakes or just not knowing or acting in ignorance or something, and I was spared because he stood between the living and the dead. The difference between alive and not alive for those people in Israel was their man of God. I know. I look back at my life of times when that was the only difference. Thank God. All right. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Okay. I told you, you know, this is going to be understanding, assisting, and praying for our pastors. I think I've only gotten to the first point here tonight, and time is not going to permit for all of these. But let's get ready to wrap this up. Praise God. Go with me. I talked about Numbers chapter 16. Go back to Numbers chapter 11. Let's take a look at this. Do you know that the Spirit on your life isn't just from you? You know what I mean? The ability on your life, the blessing of God on your life, that spiritual hunger that you have, like the Amplified said in 2 Timothy 1:6, the inner fire. It didn't come from you. Watch this in Moses' life. Go to Numbers 11 and verse 16. Now, this is when Moses was leading a very large organization. He needed help. He needed help. Listen, I'm going to be the first to admit, the pastors of this church, myself, my wife, we need your help. We need your help. Listen, yeah, and I appreciate that some people that you're nodding, you understand that. We need your help. We need your help. You know, and I got good news for you. There's something more for you than just taking up a church seat. There's something more for you than just taking up a church seat. You know what I mean by that? Oh, it's when you participate, when you help move that plan forward. Glory to God. We need to have that opportunity more than, you know, God needs it. You know what I mean? We need to have that opportunity to assist, to help. Praise the Lord. You know, of course, God needs us to get the work done down here. If we don't do it, you know, if the body of Christ doesn't do it, nobody will. But I'm just saying that we need that opportunity to flourish. Look at Numbers 11 and verse 16. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them. Bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with you." So in the midst of Moses' big task, God says, you know, that task is too big for you to handle alone, Moses. Gather up 70 people who will be leaders amongst the people and have them stand in the presence of God with you. And in verse 17, it says this. He says, God says, "I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit which is upon you, Moses, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you bear it not yourself alone." Glory to God. Glory to God. God will take of the Spirit of your spiritual leadership. He will place it on you for the task of assisting in the body of Christ. Amen. I'm so glad to have a part of the Spirit that's on my pastor, you know, to be on me. Glory to God. You know, that excites me, you know. Praise the Lord. But notice that I don't take of that Spirit that's on my pastor and then just run out and make my own life with it. I take that Spirit. That Spirit is up from my pastor to help him, to assist him. Amen. To make something come to pass. For the entire, notice he says that you bear not the burden of the people alone. Glory to God. I'll be honest. I need more people around here willing to take more responsibility, to take that Spirit that comes upon you while we're ministering the Word of God here, and to, you know, run with it and to help. Why? To what? Bear the burden of all these people, right? And all these churches. Glory to God. That's why I'm saying there's more for you than just taking up a church seat. Glory to God. It's called running with the vision of your spiritual leadership. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. And so we understand again that the Spirit that comes on our life, it's not just from us. Notice that the Spirit that's on the spiritual leadership will get on the people. That can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. That's why you want to make sure to be in a true New Testament church, because the Spirit of that leadership is going to get on you. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Let me tell you, there was a local church here that contacted me several years ago, and there was some hoopla going on down in Florida, and they came to me and they said, this pastor came to me and said, "Hey, we're getting a whole group of people together. We're driving down there. It's a revival of God." I said, "Well, really? Praise God. I'm certainly happy to hear about revival. You know, it's on TV. You got to check it out." Turned on TV. Didn't take 5 minutes to realize that God wasn't in it. God wasn't in it. Why? Because you could tell by the spiritual leadership. Took 5 minutes to watch a spiritual leader of that place and to see, whoa, yeah, nope, don't want any of that on my life. Don't want that in my church. No, thank you. Not going. Folks, I have a responsibility to make sure that I am in right places. I can't just go wherever I want. I can't just sit under any minister I want. I am always scrutinizing doctrine, because if the wrong thing gets on me, it's going to get on you. You know, it's so careful. And that pastor said, oh, we got to come down there. I said, no, I'm not going. You know, there's something, you know, something up there. I'm not going. Oh, blah, 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 blah. They went down there. They came back. Later on, that leader of that spiritual revival fell into sin, fell into adultery, and it wasn't more than just a few months later. Guess what happened to that pastor? Same thing. Same exact thing. Yep. There has been people, ministers, that have tried to, they're begging to preach at this church, but they themselves have been involved in, maybe how would I describe it, heinous sexual conduct, and want to preach in this pulpit. No way. No way. Why? Because I won't risk you. You are not poker chips, and I don't gamble with your lives. Amen. Glory to God. It's so important. It's so important. But I tell you what, every church, every ministry that's called of God needs to have people that will bear the weight of the ministry together. And they realize, you know, so many people, they'll come into a church and they'll receive the spirit that's on that pastor. They receive it, and what do? They take it outside the vineyard. That's thiefing the anointing. Oh, I want the anointing. And the anointing will fix your life. It'll help you increase financially. It'll help your marriage. It'll restore your kids. It'll heal your body. The anointing of God will do that. The word of God will do that. But so many people, they'll receive of the anointing of God, and they get bolstered up, and they receive it just to leave and to take it out the vineyard and try to build their own vineyard with it. See, but that anointing was to help bear the weight of the family altogether. Amen. And so many of you, listen, I'm preaching in the choir. So many of you are excelling in this. And I think of so many of you that are in here. And my wife and I just, we say to each other all the time how much we appreciate you in this church family. Praise God. And this is an interesting message to preach. You can just understand how the devil, listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, the devil's up here trying to beat me up right now, trying to accuse me of being selfish for preaching this message. I'm just going to preach it because I'm preaching the word. If I ever start preaching about me or my stuff, get out of here. You know what I mean? Seriously, if it ever becomes, if this church ever became a one-man show, or if it's just about, you know, the pastor and his stuff, and it's just, you know, if that's the mentality, don't walk out of this church, run out of it. You know, because that certainly is not my heart, and that wouldn't be right. Amen. You understand that? Well, praise the Lord. All right, well, let's conclude with this. I got to go and skip half of my message to get down to the bottom of my notes, because we got to, you know, get this moving. All right, let's just talk about real quickly what you can do to pray for your spiritual leadership. So I said all that so you could just have some understanding about what spiritual leadership is, the benefits of being submitted to spiritual leadership, to understand the gifts, the anointings, the callings of God upon your pastor. You know, so I can understand the gifts and callings, you know, so that I walk in honor of my, you know, my pastors, that I'm not just casual with him. You know, Pastor Michael, I'm very fortunate for the relationship I have with him, but I'll tell you what, he's not there to be my buddy first. He is not a buddy. He's not a pal, though, as time has gone on and you know, as ministers, you know, Pastor Michael has been, you know, very friendly with me. We have a great time. We share a lot of laughs and all that, but that is not first. He is not my pal first. He is my pastor. He is somebody that I respect. He is someone that I honor. And when I'm around him, I act as if I know nothing. My experiences in ministry mean nothing. I have nothing for him. I don't try to teach my pastor anything. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's go over to Ephesians. Why don't we just show you this real quick? Ephesians 6:19. Here is how you pray for your pastor. The word of God is good. Amen? Listen, I'm so grateful that I don't have to bear this alone. You know why? I won't do it. I won't. No, I won't do it alone. I can't do it alone. And I won't even try. And I'm not doing it alone. That's the good news. So many of you that are here tonight, you're in the ministry of helps, and you are knocking it out of the park. You're just doing such a great job. You're showing up. You're on time. You're standing your post. You're making this ministry work. And now because of it, churches are being built. Churches are being planted. Buildings are getting paid off. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is so good because we're working together as a team. We understand it starts with leadership, but it sure doesn't end there. You know what I mean? We need helps. Yeah. Amen. Ephesians 6:19, Paul's speaking about prayer that he's literally requesting for himself, and he's asking for prayer. He says, and for me, or pray for me. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Here's the first two things you pray for your pastor, okay? Number one is utterance. Utterance. You know what utterance is? Utterance isn't just, sermons or just speaking a message. Utterance means divinely inspired speech. We don't want just a Pastor Tim canned sermon. And I believe in these last 11 plus years, I don't think you've gotten a Pastor Tim canned sermon. You know what I mean by a canned sermon? Just something that was just, oh, whatever. And, I'm going to just be honest. I have never gotten a sermon off sermons.com. I don't do that. There has never been a sermon that I have preached that has not been given to me from the Lord. I've never used anyone else's notes. Believe me, I've been taught by, great men of God. Of course, what they've taught me, I've passed it along. But I'm just saying, I don't take someone's notes. Oh, yeah, give me that. I'll preach that. That'll be good. My wife and I had that experience in our past where all of a sudden we started hearing the same canned sermons, and now there's no inspiration in it. There's no utterance in it. We need utterance. You know what utterance is? It is the Spirit of God, what we need at that moment for the hour. Listen, there are things being said that are coming out of the pulpit that are divinely inspired, and it's changing lives. Yes. Amen. So utterance. Why? Because I'm not here to preach some pre-written, pre-canned sermon. I mean, I sit down with the Word. I have lots of notes tonight. I always do my part to have something, but we need an inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said this to the churches over there in Revelation 2:29. He says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. That's what we need. Pray that we'd hear what the Spirit is saying to us. It's not about, that made for good preaching. That entertained me. The time went quick. No, we want to hear what God has to say. And yeah, when the Spirit gets involved, time will go quick. But you know what I'm saying? It's not just, let's hope that Pastor Tim is having a good day today. Let's hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. All right. Here's the second thing we pray for our pastor. Boldness. Boldness. I'll tell you what. It takes boldness to preach a message that I'm preaching here tonight. Do you know what boldness is? Boldness is the ability to break through the personal inhibitions that would get you to try to stop from preaching that message. Listen, the Lord told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, he said, do not fear for the faces of the people. Listen, there will be an attack on the flesh and on the mind to not say things because, you get concerned, like if I say that, people are going to misunderstand me, people are going to be mad, it's going to upset the apple cart or whatever. Boldness breaks through all those inhibitions. We need boldness in our pulpits. America needs boldness in the pulpits of America. There used to be a day and a time where people feared the ministers of God because they'd stand there and they would preach the word uncompromised and the people would be convicted. And their heels would get hot. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. We need some boldness. Glory to God. Boldness to correct, boldness to reprove, boldness to call sin, sin. So boldness has been robbed from the pulpits of America, so much to the point where they won't call homosexuality a sin. Actually, just the opposite. They'll invite it into their pulpit. Preachers have lost their boldness. Oh, we got to relate. No, you listen. You don't want to relate to a sinful, dishonorable culture. Our job is not to go down to a level so we can mingle there. Our job is to call them up and to say, it is possible. It's better up here. It's better to walk the high road with Jesus. It's better to be delivered from sin. Amen. Glory to God. You know, it's better to throw off the former behavior. You know, like Paul said, the old life. He said, cast off the old man. Right? And put on Jesus. Praise the Lord. It takes boldness to say that. Oh, I've had people grit their teeth at me when they've heard me say homosexuality is a sin. I've had people just grit their teeth, just mad. I can't believe you'd say that. Listen, I didn't say it. God did. God did. Listen. You say, oh, you're a hater. You're a bigot. You're a hater. You're a homophobe. You're all this and that. No. Because if I don't say that boldly, there'll be no way to deliver that person from that sin. Because eternity, the veil between this life and the next one is so thin that that person walks out of that veil. You know, they walk out of this life into that next, having, you know, failed to repent for their sins. They will be judged. And so who's the hater? They can be okay with, you know, someone staying in that lifestyle. Or maybe, you know, the Word of God has the power to deliver them from such a lifestyle. That's not hate, that's love. I'm trying to save them. I want them to know the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. I want them to know that it doesn't have to be that way. They don't have to walk in that depression and that misery. There is another way. There's a better way. Thank God. I'm so glad that my pastor was bold, because when I had stuff, there was junk in my life. There was alcoholism. There was, you know, promiscuous living. There was party mentality, all that stuff that was on my life. But guess what? It didn't stay there. And yeah, you preach boldly, you might chase a few people out the doors, but the people that are hungry for God, they'll stay and their lives will be radically changed. The first thing the Lord ever spoke to me when I became a pastor, he said, the people that are hungry for my word will stay with you, and people that aren't, they will go. So don't be discouraged when you see them leave. And I've understood from the get-go that my ministry would see a lot of people that would get upset with me and that would walk out the door. This church has seen nearly 5,000 different individuals walk through these doors. 5,000. Now, that's the good news, that they all heard the gospel. They all heard the gospel. 5,000 different individuals. And less than 10% have stayed. But the ones that have stayed are the ones like you. You love God. You love His word. You want to do whatever. So pray for boldness, because there's a lot of, oh, I get letters, emails, stuff. I put an article in the paper. You know, you write about raising kids. You know, I wrote about, you know, how to discipline your children in the article. You should have seen some of the, we should read some of those letters sometimes. We'd have to get the censor, the beep out, though. We'd have to bleep out some bleep, bleep, you know, because there's some expletives in there. But it's very interesting, you know, it just takes boldness to step up and say these things. Pray, pray for boldness. Now, can we real quickly, we'll end here. Can you bring up 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1? All right, so we pray for utterance, we pray for boldness. And the third thing that we pray for is deliverance. And it's going to tell us what we pray for deliverance for. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us. He's talking about spiritual leadership. That the word of the Lord, I actually put the fourth thing in front of the third thing. I'll get it straightened out here. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Verse 2. Go to verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. All right. I told you the fourth thing, but go up for the third thing, verse 1. I told you the third thing was deliverance. That's actually going to be 4. Sorry, I didn't pay attention to my notes. Praise the Lord. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Here's the third thing. That the word of the Lord would have free course at Family Church. All right. Pray. Why? Because we don't want the pastor getting distracted with things that aren't the gospel. You know, we don't want any motivational speeches here. We want the gospel having free course. Amen. We don't want to hear 3 points in a poem. I'm going to read you a little poem today, and it'll give you all a fuzzy feeling, and you'll just walk out staying defeated like you were when you came in. I'm not going to do that here. And, you know, I've been in services. I'm like, are we going to get to a scripture? I've seen some of the biggest churches in America, you know, watch their show on TV. Not one verse. Not one verse. I heard a message by one of the most well-known preachers in the world. And his message was about, you know, having peace in life. Not one verse was used. And one of his main points was go to a pond and skip stones. He said, go to a pond, skip stones. He went out and he said, he went on to continue saying, take a different way home from work. Do something different. I'm like, how weak and watered. I'm thinking those people are, I mean, oh, that's the answer to my life. Go skip some stones on a pond. That's the reason why my marriage is falling apart. Because I haven't been skipping enough stones on a pond. That's why my body is sick. Because I didn't take a different way home from work just to shake it up. I'm sorry. You see me, that's how I get in my vehicle or in front of the radio or something when I hear this stuff. And anyway, praise the Lord. I say, wow, my goodness, pastor gets fired up. Yeah, I get fired up. You know why? Because there's 20,000 people sitting in that building whose lives need Jesus. And the gospel is not having free course there. It's being watered and weakened down. Woo, praise the Lord. All right, well, glory to God. Pray that the word, what? You say, well, pastor, could that happen here? Yeah, if we're not careful. I mean, certainly you can tell I don't have a plan to do that. But we want the gospel to have free course in our church. Free course in our church. We don't want my opinions. We don't want, oh, good Lord, we don't want anything like that. You know, praise God. I'm not attacking anybody. Listen, I'd have lunch with that pastor. I'd have lunch with other ones. You know, I'd love to sit down. I'd love to see them get a little fire in their belly. I'd love for them to stand up and start preaching the word. And we need that. We need, you know, because so many people around the world are tuning into those radio programs and those TV programs and what they see in the pulpit. And that's what they start to say. That's what Christianity is. It's like this just weak little philosophy. This little happy little picnic. Praise the Lord. Well, you're getting a look at just, this is just my heart, honestly. Just my heart. Verse 2, and here's the fourth thing, deliverance. That we pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. What does that mean? Not all people have good intentions when they come in here. Not everyone that thinks of myself and my wife have good intentions for us. The devil would try to raise up wicked people to try to harm this place or to harm your pastors. But you pray that we are delivered from wicked and unreasonable. Not just wicked men, but also unreasonable. You know what's unreasonable? You know, when, you know, the building codes try to shut down a building after they told us we could open it, and then they come back and shut it down and let us open it again to shut it down again. That's unreasonable. We need to be delivered from that stuff. We're delivered from the unreasonable red tape of government bureaucracy. We're delivered from unreasonable rates, unreasonable prices, unreasonable bankers or lawyers or unreasonable whatever the church comes against. Amen. We're delivered from that. We're delivered from that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, folks, I'm just going to level with you. This has been a very honest message, by the way. I mean, you've seen, I could just about lose my temper when I think about, you know, people that sit in churches and they hear just a weak, watered-down message. That fires me up. And so you get a good look at it. I'm just being honest, being very straightforward. But here's another bit of straightforward, you know, that I need to pass along to you, is that over the last couple of weeks, over the last couple of months, I have sensed that there has been a weakening or a lessening of prayer from my wife and myself from this church. And when I say that, that's not blaming anybody. That's not me accusing or saying what's wrong with anybody. I've just sensed spiritually that there's been a letting down of the guard of the church congregation for their pastors. That doesn't mean your love has gone anywhere, your faithfulness has gone anywhere, your obedience. But sometimes it's real easy, especially this time of year with summer coming up, the weather turning nice, all of a sudden we forget to pray for our pastors. It should be an absolute prayer priority. And again, I'm humbly asking that. You know, I'm humbly asking that because knowing the word and knowing what God's word says, you know, regarding this, Paul the Apostle, listen, I am no Paul the Apostle. He was the greatest, most anointed man that has walked this earth outside of Jesus himself, all right? And he said to the churches, he said, pray for us. Pray. Paul, like, well, why would we have to pray for Paul the Apostle that the gospel would have free course? I mean, you would think the gospel would always be the priority with Paul. No, Paul was saying, I need, you know, that prayer and that support that I always bring the gospel. I need, you know, you need to pray for me that I always stay bold. You need to pray that utterance flows. Why? Because Paul knew it wasn't automatic. It was not automatic. He needed the assistance of the people that he ministered to. All right? And listen, if Paul the Apostle needed that, believe you me, I need it. My wife needs it. Our family needs it. And not just us, but the other leaders in this church need it as well because they share in that pressure. All right? All right? So you see four things to pray for. All right? Number one, utterance. Number two, boldness. Number three, free course. Number four, deliverance from unreasonable and wicked men. All right? All right? And so that is how you can help. That's how you can assist. And of course, you know, just to man your post, be faithful, and listen, you know what really helps a pastor the most? I'll just be honest, you being here. You know, there's people that are supposed to be here tonight, and I'm not mad at them that they're not. Don't misunderstand. My heart is going out because I know there were things that were for them that they're not going to get now. And now it prolongs the trial. It prolongs the season that they're in. They should have been here. They should have been watered. There's people that, you know, are facing marriage crises. And you say, well, Pastor, but you didn't preach on marriage. That doesn't matter. Just the atmosphere, just the word of the Lord, just the presence of God can water their marriages even when we're ministering on a different topic. All right? And so I certainly am not going to apologize for preaching this message. Every church needs to hear it. But I will say this, if you're walking out of here with the thought, you know, that, you know, I was here to, you know, bolster myself or to preach about myself, then you've missed it entirely. You've missed it entirely. I am humbly saying that we need to work together as a congregation, and I need you like you need me. Amen? For us to be to faithfully serve the Lord together. Amen. So I say it with humility, and when I go after stuff like, you know, preaching about the weakness that's in the body of Christ today, listen, I'm glad that we have a clean, safe church here. Amen. And I don't say any of those things to attack another minister of the gospel or another organization. I will never do that. I'm rooting for them. Aren't you? I want to turn that on, and I want to see that man get fired up. I want to hear him start, you know, just preaching the word. I want to start giving a salvation call. You know what I mean? I want to see him, you know, start teaching. I want to see scripture start flowing out of his heart. You know, I want to see the fire of God. I want to hear the prophecy, you know, start igniting that man. I want to see him on fire. I want to see the people of God. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see, you know, him fail. If he's one of the leading faces in the body of Christ, we need him to succeed. Amen. So don't misunderstand my heart. My heart just aches for the people that are sitting there who are looking for answers for their life, and that's what they're getting, you know. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Let's get